time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Head of the pack, all the way in, slam dunk.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, off and running with hour number two on your Monday. We got a lot to get to still. Special thanks to a pair of great guests in hour number one. We chatted with Augustana baseball head coach Tim Huber. Also heard from Cole Thompson of Fan Nation and Sports Map Radio to round out hour number one. You got me for the entirety of hour number two. Headlines and highlights coming up now. A little on this day in sports history sprinkled in. Also in the pot, in the recipe today on your Monday, the latest from the NFL draft grades, and we'll also dive into those grades for our area teams. Both the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers pretty much ended up where I ended up after my undergrad, right around a 3.1, 3.2. Not too bad, not too good, but certainly good enough in the NFL draft, good enough to graduate college, good enough to be on the air with you here in Sioux Falls. Also to come today, the good, the bad, and the ugly to round out the Monday edition of Overtime. Now into your scorecard, the NHL playoffs keep on moving along. Colorado takes a 3-1 series lead with a 5-1 win over Winnipeg at home yesterday. Also winning yesterday, Vancouver, as they blow it open, 3-1 lead for them. It took overtime, but they upset Nashville on the road.
Quinn Hughes long shot missed high and wide of the target, and Cole holds in right point again. Zadora behind the net for Garland. Fred Lindholm scores! Elias Lindholm wins it for the Canucks! 102 into overtime! He beats UC Soros from the slot, and Vancouver has a stranglehold on this series. They lead it 3-1, and they win it in Nashville 4-3.
3-1 lead there for Vancouver. SN 650 there with the audio. The Rangers, the first team moving on from the first round. They blank and sweep the Washington Capitals out of the postseason. They win the series. Here's 98.7 ESPN New York with the audio.
Igor Shesterkin, who fires it into the far boards. 2-1. One more save by Shesterkin. Bring out the brooms. Rangers sweep the series 4-0, and they're off to the second round.
4-2 the final yesterday. Also a final. Edmonton takes a 3-1 series lead over the Kings. 1-0 victory yesterday. Sets up tonight in the NHL. 2 games going on. Panthers looking to move on. They're home to Tampa Bay. They lead that series right now 3-1. That puck drops at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Later on tonight, Stars at Golden Knights. This series not closeoutable, if that's a word, tonight, but it's a 2-1 series lead for Vegas as they play at home to the Stars, 8:30 on ESPN. NBA Finals from yesterday. Yes, we'll get to the Timberwolves and Chris Finch and everything else that goes along with a tremendous win here in a moment. First things first, though, Knicks over the Sixers, 97-92. Brunson, fantastic. Double-double, 47 points and 10 assists. New York now leads that series 3-1. Elsewhere, James Harden playing good ball as the Clippers down Dallas 116-111 yesterday.
James at the logo, dribbles to the right hand, hip high. He's got the last four, switched on by Kleva with 4 seconds, attacks the paint, another lefty layup, and he puts it down. James Harden taking Dallas to school on a Sunday afternoon, 104-100. Timeout Dallas.
That series now tied 2 games apiece. Audio there. Clippers Audio Network, 116-111. James Harden, 33 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists as the Clippers getting close to moving along there. Series tied 2 games apiece. Good road win there for L.A. Elsewhere, the Indiana Pacers very close to going ahead and moving on from the Milwaukee Bucks. 126-113 the final yesterday. And lastly, most important game in our neck of the woods, most important and impactful game of the day, Minnesota and Phoenix. They were up 3-0, and the Timberwolves earned their first sweep in franchise history.
113-111. Ant one-on-one against Bradley Beal. Beats him baseline. Rises and hammers. What a finish by Anthony Edwards. Big time dunk by Ant. 27 points in the second half. And he rocks the rim and oohs and ahs even from the Suns fans here in the building.
Unbelievable finish there for Anthony Edwards. It began with a great defensive series just prior where the Suns were whipping the ball around the perimeter, tried to feed it out to KD in that far right corner, couldn't get it done, picked off. Coming down the floor, Anthony Edwards with the ball in his hand. He was working that left side of the floor, and you heard the "Let's go, Suns" chants, and it started to get a little raucous there, and then you saw the defense take shape and the Timberwolves drag the floor to the right, leaving Anthony Edwards a little bit of room to the left. Not enough eyeballs on him. He skies up high, slams it home, and sends the Timberwolves on to round number two. Everything was good yesterday except an unfortunate collision. Chris Finch goes down, collision with his own player. Here's the latest on the head coach.
I think that they're evaluating him now. We don't know anything for sure. Obviously took a hit to his lower leg, kind of like hockey, right? Lower body injury. But they're looking at him now. It was great, though. The whole team went down to the medical room, and he's obviously in good spirits, and so are the guys. So
122-116 the final. Anthony Edwards, 40 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. And it's a first in franchise history for you Timberwolves fans. A series sweep in the postseason, 4-0. Minnesota likely to face Denver in round number 2. That series continues with game number 5 tonight from Denver. But when it comes to the other side, very disappointing season and postseason exit for Phoenix. Here's Jay Williams on who is to blame.
It's going to be the players. It's always going to be the players. And you can
fire about the players?
Well, no, I'm not going to fire the players. I mean, but the details are roster construction. We could talk about them not having a leader and a bona fide guard, them having big issues with Nurkic not having the size, Minnesota being a better team. But when you have the star power of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal on the same team, it's just they didn't morph correctly.
They did not morph correctly at all. It leads to a first-round exit for the Phoenix Suns. Tonight in the NBA, Celtics and Heat lead us off from South Beach, 6:30 on TNT. Boston leads that series 2-1. OKC, the top seed in the West, looking for a sweep as well of New Orleans in the first round. They'll have to do it on the road, 7:30 on NBA TV. Lakers at Nuggets, Game 5. Denver leads the series 3-1, 9 o'clock jump time on TNT. Major League Baseball, Cubbies dropped the ball literally and figuratively yesterday in a loss to Boston on the road. Chicago loses 5-4. Cubbies are 17-11. Elsewhere, Cleveland Guardians, the best team record-wise in the AL Central, went up against a really good Atlanta Braves team, and the Braves make them pay in extras.
The pitch. Bounced up the middle. Might get through. It does! Base hit! Rattled around third. Here comes the throw. It's late. Braves win! Austin Riley comes through with the winner.
It's a big win for the Braves and a big loss for Cleveland. They're now 19-9. Still the best team in the AL Central lately, but the Minnesota Twins would like to put their hat in the ring. They have now won 7 straight games.
Breaking ball hit sharply through the drawn-in infield for an RBI base hit. Farmer takes the turn. He's coming home. The throw to the plate beats him by a mile, but it's dropped by the catcher, Ohapi. It was a little up the line, and the Twins score 2 on an RBI base hit to left for Austin Martin. They lead 3-0.
That 3-0 lead would transform into an 11-5 final win on the road in L.A. over the Angels. New record for Minnesota. They've won 7 games in a row after a sluggish start. They're 14-13. They're still in fourth place in the AL Central, but things are starting to even up and close up a little bit. Cleveland 19-9, 2.5 games up on Kansas City, 3 games better than Detroit, and 4.5 games up on the Twins at 14-13. Chicago White Sox nowhere to be found, 6-22 in the cellar of the division. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Cardinals at Tigers 5:40, Royals at Blue Jays 6:10, Cubs at Mets same time, Twins at White Sox 6:40 the start time. You can watch it on the TV on Fox Sports 1. Listen as always right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Pregame coverage tonight begins at 6 o'clock. NFL draft is in the books, and Caleb Williams, number 1 overall. Bill Barnwell says it's the quarterbacks that we'll remember the most from this NFL draft class.
I mean, you have 6 quarterbacks. Don't believe we've seen that since the Dan Marino draft, the Dan Marino draft, 41 years ago now. The 6 guys in the top 12. I mean, this was a draft where, you know, with 3 guys we knew for sure, probably a 4th guy in J.J. McCarthy became pretty clear early on. Maybe 4 first-round picks, maybe even 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10, which seemed crazy. We got 6 in the first 12 picks, guys, and you know, it is really remarkable to me.
Pretty darn interesting. All sorts of drama moving forward. J.J. McCarthy, the new face of the Minnesota Vikings. You got Bo Nix as the new face of the Denver Broncos. Who knows if either of those guys will start game one this year? Who knows if either of those guys will see the field this year either? I do think McCarthy a little bit more likely, but Bo Nix, not necessarily a competitive quarterback room. Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, the other guys there. If I had to guess, I would have guessed that Jarrett Stidham would be the day one guy in Denver and Sam Darnold to be the day one guy in Minnesota, but fans, as they should be, pretty darn antsy to see the new rookie, especially a first round rookie quarterback in both cities. Now let's move forward into your ReliaBank headlines of the day here for hour number two. The Sioux Falls Stampede Hockey Club announced this morning that the contract for head coach Eric Rude will not be renewed for next season. Rude posted a record of 51-59-14, also had a playoff appearance this year and a loss in three games to the Tri-City Storm. The Stampede will make an announcement early next week on the new head coach here in Sioux Falls. All sorts of football players learning about their football future in the NFL or otherwise via the draft or undrafted free agency. Casey Bauman and Blake Larson of Augustana Viking Football put pen to paper to pursue their NFL dreams on Saturday night. Bauman inked a free agent deal with the Chargers, and Blake Larson, the offensive lineman, will join the LA Rams. Both big opportunities there for both those young players. Casey Bauman looks to get a little bit better there at that quarterback position, being around some pros like Matthew Stafford and others out with the, with the LA Chargers. He'll be around Justin Herbert and former quarterback Jim Harbaugh as well. A lot to look forward to. Blake Larson, opportunity to join one of the better offenses in the NFL, that LA Rams offense. Certainly a lot of good offensive linemen, people to learn from there. Best of luck to Casey Bauman and Blake Larson, the pair of Augustana Vikings that have signed undrafted free agent deals with NFL teams. Now on to South Dakota State. SDSU running back Isaiah Davis became the second Jackrabbit taken in the NFL draft over the weekend, was the 38th pick of the fifth round and number 173 overall. Joplin, Missouri native Davis earned Co-Missouri Valley Football Conference Offensive Player of the Year honors, was also a finalist for the Walter Payton Award that was given away eventually to Jackrabbit quarterback Mark Gronowski. Earlier in the day, Mason McCormick, Sioux Falls native, joined the Pittsburgh Steelers as a fourth round pick. Davis and McCormick mark the sixth time in SDSU program history that two Jackrabbits were drafted in the same year, and the second time in the last three seasons. So you look at the history here recently, you can see a big shift here from 2010. Danny Batten, the defensive end, went to the Buffalo Bills in the sixth round, and he was the only player taken in 2010. A decade plus earlier, Steve Heiden, the tight end, in 1999, went to the San Diego Chargers. So between 1999, 11 years later, 2010 was the next Jackrabbit, and then 8 years later, 2018, Dallas Goedert came off the board. And since Dallas Goedert in 2018, you had Jordan Brown in 19, Pierre Strong Jr. in 22, Chris Oladokun in 22, Tucker Kraft to the Green Bay Packers last year, and then a pair of players this year. Trending up, trending in the right direction, as we've seen on the football field, the same case, sending players to the pros, the same deal up there in Brookings. But that's not the only team sending players to the pros. Also quickly on South Dakota State, Garrett Greenfield, a guy that many thought would get drafted, did sign an undrafted free agent deal with the Seattle Seahawks. All the best to Garrett, opportunity to compete, and I would venture a guess that dude is an animal. He will make the roster out in Seattle, high-profile, highly desired free agent, and he joins the Seattle Seahawks out there on the West Coast. South Dakota defensive back Miles Harden was the only player from the Coyote program drafted, was taken in the seventh round by the Browns on Saturday, day three of the NFL draft. Harden is the first Coyote to be drafted since Tyler Starr back in 2014. Harden picked number 227 overall in the NFL draft and the fifth player drafted by the Browns. Still working on getting the list together of all the guys that have earned opportunities in undrafted free agency, but Brock Mogensen, linebacker there, one of the best players on that USD defense, joining Miles Harden, is heading to join the Dallas Cowboys. Talk about an opportunity, by the way. The Dallas Cowboys had Leighton Vander Esch retire due to some medical concerns. They brought in Eric Kendricks, and Eric Kendricks is a fine football player, but definitely long in the tooth. He's an older guy. Dallas looking to revamp that defense. Could Brock Mogensen stick on that roster as well? Certainly an opportunity to fit in on a linebacker core that has been churned and changed quite a bit this offseason. The Phoenix Suns began the season with championship aspirations, buoyed by the collective offensive firepower promised by Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, the latest iteration of an NBA super team led by an ultra-talented Big Three, but the team could never quite stay healthy, could never quite find a rhythm, and never did appear as potent as a threat as they hoped themselves to be. Last night, their underwhelming campaign concluded in disappointing fashion as the Suns were swept out of the first round on their home floor by the suddenly impactful and surging Minnesota Timberwolves, who closed out the first round series with a 122-116 win at Footprint Center. Roster-wise, everyone talks about the firepower, but you look around the league, it comes down to the details, said Devin Booker, who finished with a game-high 49 points in the loss. I don't want to keep saying that, but it's a super important thing. You can't just go out there and think you're going to win off talent. The game is more complicated than that. The Timberwolves found that out last year in regards to, hey, we're going to throw these guys together, see how it works. And there were some injuries. Carl Anthony Towns missed a ton of last year with that calf injury. But also, it never really felt like Gobert, Towns, and Anthony Edwards really coexisted very well last year. They had a couple bright moments, but again, didn't really feel like it was a rock-solid connection between those three. This year feels a little bit different. They've got great depth pieces on the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it adds up to their first ever sweep of a series in franchise history. The Minnesota Timberwolves now with the fourth best odds to win it all this season, and a lot of people out there, mark my words, a lot of people out there, maybe not me just yet, but a lot of people out there are going to pick an upset in round number two, Timberwolves over the Nuggets, when that matchup gets finalized. Not if, but when it gets finalized, Denver and Minnesota round number two. There'll be a lot of people out there trying to hop on the hot team in Minnesota. Do I think they're good enough just yet? I'm not ready to say that, but we'll wait and see how that series concludes between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Ezekiel Elliott is back home, expected to agree to a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys, who need him like crazy. They lost leading rusher Tony Pollard in free agency to the Titans. Cowboys are looking at going with a committee approach at running back. Dallas re-signed last year's backup Rico Dowdle, added Royce Freeman in free agency. Cowboys also have Deuce Vaughn, six-round player last year, Malik Davis, and Hunter Lipke of North Dakota State on the roster, but certainly the Dallas Cowboys had to have drafted a running back over the weekend, right? They did not, but they're somehow all in on the future. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day here, always brought to you by ReliaBank. For a better local banking option, check them out online at ReliaBank.com. We take the break. When we come back, it's your weekly history lesson. Usually try to hit this in hour number one. Had a couple guests in hour number one. It's time now, next, for On This Day in Sports History. A lot to get to, a couple big birthdays, and then we'll dive into the NFL, latest from the National Football League, draft grades for our area teams. Do you think the Minnesota Vikings deserve an A? You might be wrong. Certain people pretty darn low on what the Vikings did. I really think they did. I think Minnesota, at worst, would be a B+, A-. But general consensus has the Packers and the Vikings right there in the thick of things. We'll dive into the draft grades later on in the show. Back with more of Overtime on a Monday after this.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, hour number two on a Monday. I did hunt down some other undrafted free agency signings that impact the Mount Rushmore State. For South Dakota football, Isaac Erbis has earned a rookie minicamp tryout with the Tennessee Titans. Also for USD, Stephen Hillis, impactful linebacker during his career down in Vermilion. Also a rookie minicamp invite with the Buffalo Bills. And we did get an update from Craig Haley, who covers the FCS, a football championship subdivision, on Twitter and elsewhere. Here's the list of the South Dakota State guys that are getting an opportunity. Mason McCormick to the Steelers, Isaiah Davis to the Jets via the NFL draft. Free agent signings. We told you about Garrett Greenfield with the Seattle Seahawks. Here are the other ones. Dyshawn Gales, the cornerback, has inked a deal with the Cleveland Browns. Zach Hines, a draftable tight end, really good player, heads out to the Los Angeles Chargers. Harbaugh's going to love him in that newfound offense out there with Justin Herbert. The Yonke twins, Jaden and Jackson Yonke, are going to the same place. As fate would have it, they're going to make their way down to Houston to join that Texans roster. Very competitive wide receiver room there, hoping for the best for both the Yankees down in Houston. And then Isaiah Stallbird, who had a fantastic pro day up in Brookings, he's earned an opportunity as a safety linebacker with the New Orleans Saints moving forward. That's the latest and greatest news from our area prospects. Best of luck to everyone, drafted, undrafted, or otherwise, from this Mount Rushmore State. We did have the Sioux Falls native come off the board. Cooper DeJean ultimately goes one pick ahead of the Green Bay Packers, and I saw it on there, and I got the rumor mill, and I said, hey, if he falls to Green Bay, that's the pick, is what I saw several different places. And the Eagles trade up right in front of the Packers and get him. Good news for Green Bay. They got the best linebacker of the draft, the next pick, in Edgerrin Cooper. But the Packers did miss out on Cooper DeJean. He goes to Philly. And then we had a couple other guys ink the deals. Tip Ryman gets drafted as well. Sioux Falls native, or now Rapid City native, played high school ball at O'Gorman. And then, of course, Mason McCormick, the other Sioux Falls native. Three guys that have called Sioux Falls home, either from birth or otherwise, into the NFL. Pretty darn cool and special season in the NFL draft for us here in the 605. Now it's time for your weekly history lesson. It is on this day in sports history.
History repeats itself.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner.
Well, sometimes.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
In the world of sports, there are moments that are fleeting.
And Barnes, hit one high, hits it deep.
And some that live forever.
In the end zone, it is caught for the win!
It's time for Bert to deliver those moments that happened on this day in sports history.
On this day in sports history, always hits on a Monday here on Overtime. We go all the way back to 1892 for the first event today on this day in sports history. In 1892, the opposing manager, the opposing dugout said, hey, you're allowed to do that? And somebody checked the rules and said, yes, they are. Charlie Riley, in 1892, was baseball's first pinch hitter. On this day in 1892, 1918, on this day, Tris Speaker tied the career outfield record of 4 unassisted double plays for his career. 1918, 1930 was a run scoring kind of day today in Major League Baseball. 123 runs are scored across 7 major league games on this day in 1930. 1934, the city of Pittsburgh became the last Major League Baseball city to play a home game on a Sunday, as the Pirates host the Cincinnati Reds on this day in 1934. 1961, ABC gets in on the action, debuting the wide world of sports. 61, 1980, the NFL draft took place. Oklahoma running back Billy Sims was the first pick by the Detroit Lions that season. 1985, New York Yankees fired manager Yogi Berra on this day, just 16 games into the season, despite assurances from owner George Steinbrenner that he would be kept for the whole season. Billy Martin was named as his replacement. 1986, on this day, some guy named Roger Clemens had a big day, struck struck out 20 Seattle Mariners in a win for the Red Sox, 1986. Also on this day in 86, NFL draft, Auburn running back Bo Jackson was the first overall pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 1987, Chicago Cub legend Andre Dawson hit for the Cycle on this day. And in 2006, memorable draft with Vince Young, Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner, Jay Cutler, and others. 2006 NFL draft, North Carolina State defensive end Mario Williams was the first overall pick by the Houston Texans. Now for your birthdays, it's a 1918 birthday for George Allen, Pro Football Hall of Fame coach, coach of the year in 1967 and 1971, coach for the Rams and the then Washington Redskins, was born on this day in 1918 in Nelson County, Virginia. George Allen passed away in 1990. 1944 birthday for Jim Hart, the American NFL quarterback of the St. Louis Cardinals, was born out in Evanston, Illinois on this day. Other big birthdays, and there's a lot to get to today. Dale Earnhardt Sr., born on this day in 1951, passed away tragically at Daytona 500 in 2001. American auto racer, seven-time champion of the Winston Cup Series, was born on this day, 1951, in Kannapolis, North Carolina. It's the 54th birthday today for American tennis legend Andre Agassi, Olympic gold winner, 1996, eight Grand Slam titles, was born in Las Vegas on this day in 1970. Other birthdays, Smokin' Jay Cutler, 1983 birthday today for Jay, a 31st birthday today for American golfer, native of Louisville, Kentucky, PGA Championship winner in 2017 and 2022, Players Championship winner in 2021, Justin Thomas turns 31 today, and let's squeeze in an equine birthday today, why don't we? 2003, the birthday today for Barbaro, the American thoroughbred racehorse, passed away in 2007. That's on this day in sports history, and we knock them out and knock them down once again with your history. Dale Earnhardt, Andre Agassi, Jay Cutler birthdays today, and the first ever baseball pinch hitter, 1892, quite some time ago, as that is very commonplace these days, not so much back in the late 1800s. When we come back, NFL draft talk, your grades, where the Vikings ended up, where the Packers ended up, the Chiefs, and all your area teams. How about the Denver Broncos? Did the pundits like what they did despite taking quarterback Bo Nix at number 12? We'll let you know. And also, of course, we're going to tell you what team got the worst grade. They got a new quarterback in town, and they really did not make Kirk Cousins happy. There's your spoiler as we come back with the latest from the National Football League and more next on Overtime.
You want more of Overcast? Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Number two on a Monday. Ever miss any of the show? Podcast links easily accessible, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on that free ESPN Sioux Falls app. It is a free download at the Apple App Store or on Google Play. It's time to put your money where your mouth is for the Minnesota Vikings. They had a nice draft and a really nice one, I think. And I don't think the grades are as favorable. We'll dive into those in just a moment. Before the draft, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, the situation for the Vikings and star receiver Justin Jefferson was simple. Pay him or trade him to someone who will. Now that the trade window is closed for now, the Vikings need to pay the man. Recent comments from GM Kwesi Adofa-Mensah suggest that he will indeed pay Justin Jefferson, but past comments from the GM created that same vibe. They still haven't paid him. It would be an easy-to-do deal, given Adofa-Mensah's past admission that Jefferson should be paid like a top non-quarterback. Niners defensive end Nick Bosa currently holds that title, $34 million per year in new money. The one thing the Vikings have next year, outside of a lot of hopes and dreams, is a ton of cap room, and the Minnesota Vikings should focus primarily on getting Justin Jefferson paid today and by the end of this week or next to avoid any sort of distraction, drama, or otherwise. Pay the man, get him locked up. He's one of the faces of the franchise and one of, if not the clear-cut best receiver in the National Football League. It's a new day for the NFL today. The Boomer Esiason will not be returning during the Monday edition of his WFAN radio show, and he announced he won't be returning to CBS either in the fall, ending his 22-year run on the pregame show. He also has extended his contract to be in the morning show slot he inherited with Craig Carton after Don Imus exited in 2007, and it's a changing of the guard there as far as one of the premier preview shows, premier analysis shows goes in the National Football League, and more on that at Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Boomer Esiason out, Phil Sims out, and Matt Ryan, newly retired Matt Ryan, is in. Ryan called games last year, staying put with the network. Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and host James Brown each had expiring contracts and signed new ones. J.J. Watt will also continue in his part-time role. Boomer Esiason, 22 years, he's done. Phil Sims, 26 years, and he's out at CBS as well. And he had been the number one game analyst before shifting to the studio after the hiring of Tony Romo. So, yeah, it'll sound a little bit different on CBS next year and beyond. Lastly, as far as NFL news, we told you Ezekiel Elliott is back with the Dallas Cowboys on a one-year deal. Offensive tackle Mekhi Becton, huge person, but couldn't ever really fit into his role with the New York Jets. Former first-round pick of the Jets plans to sign a one-year deal worth up to $5.5 million to join the Philadelphia Eagles, his agents announced on Sunday. The signing, which was encouraged by Eagles offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland, is pending a physical. 6'7", Becton started 16 games last year. He missed 33 out of 34 games in 2021 and 2022 due to surgeries on his right knee. But again, potential for the remainder of the career of Mekhi Becton, one of the more massive people in the National Football League, gets a chance to reboot his career out in Philadelphia. Now on to NFL draft grades. We heard from Cole Thompson in hour number one talking about, hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers knocked it out of the park. That was the best draft of the weekend. They got Mason McCormick, so you know it's near and dear to South Dakota as far as being a really good NFL draft. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, you look at the draft and what they did. They filled needs and they plugged holes there. Troy Fatunu, one of the top offensive linemen, tackles or guard, versatility in round number one. Zach Frazier at center. Roman Wilson at receiver. Peyton Wilson, one of the top linebackers, goes middle of round, end of round number three, rather, from NC State. They also land Mason McCormick, an Iowa grad, and Logan Lee at defensive tackle. And they rounded out with another big name, Texas corner Ryan Watts. There's not a single pick on that list that I don't like, and there's not really any picks on that list that I don't love based on value for the Pittsburgh Steelers. According to all of these put together, and I mean all of these draft grade articles from Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Network, NFL.com, APNFL, CBS Sports, Fox Sports, Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, everything you could possibly want is put into a big time graph and chart and sorted by GPA because they're grading in A+, A, A-, B+, B, B-, you get it. And here's where it sorts out here. I'm not going to go through every team, but I'll talk to you about our area teams and the teams that stood out. Pittsburgh is the top team, 3.92 GPA. Worst grade they got from anyone came from the Washington Post with a B. And that's pretty darn good. 3.92 for Pittsburgh. Chicago Bears, second most impressive draft according to draft grades. It certainly helps when you have the number one overall pick and two picks in the top 10. But the Bears did what they were supposed to do and landed some marquee talent to bolster their future. Chicago in the top two. Philadelphia, Washington in the top four, and the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that has reigned supreme in the NFL back-to-back seasons, had the fifth best draft according to all of this stuff averaged together. The Chiefs, a couple A's, couple B pluses. Overall, 3.68 for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are a top five NFL draft. For Charger Josh, who I just heard from over the break, they liked what your Chargers did. Seventh best draft across the National Football League, 3.57 GPA there. Other area teams, Detroit Lions had the second best draft in the NFC North. They are the 11th team right now. Minnesota Vikings fans, I know you love your future. I know you loved your draft picks. I loved your first round in particular. I liked Kyree Jackson and other players that you got throughout. But general consensus here, And this does bring in not just the players that you got, but what you gave up to get them. And the mortgaging of the future just a little bit isn't popular with everybody. The Minnesota Vikings earned several A's, including from Fox Sports and Bleacher Report. But overall, Minnesota finished with a GPA of 3.06. And they are the 16th, right in the middle, draft value as far as everyone goes, smashed together for a consensus here. Minnesota 16th, Green Bay right behind them at 18th. Packers did not have a flashy draft, but they had some really good picks. I did not love a lot about day three for Green Bay, but day one, day two, awesome. Day three, some highlights, some lowlights, some in between. Really liked that they got another quarterback in there in Michael Pratt. Consensus top eight, top 10 quarterback in this year's draft. Green Bay, the 18th best draft. Other area teams as we move on down, the Denver Broncos, not too popular. Denver Broncos earn a couple of A's overall. They are the 28th ranked team. And then the bad, the really bad, the Titans 29th, the Panthers 30th, the Cleveland Browns 31st. The Panthers and Browns didn't have a first round pick. And the Atlanta Falcons, by far the worst NFL draft this season, according to consensus. There was some person on this sheet, Matt Burdame of Sports Illustrated, that gave Atlanta an A. Nobody else even gave them a B. That's how bad the Falcons were in the draft. They had a big need at edge rusher. Could have gotten Dallas Turner. They pass him up to take a quarterback of the future. Not a bad idea, but given where they are, the fact that they just unloaded the coffers, backed up the Brinks truck to Kirk Cousins' house to make him move from Minnesota down to the ATL, closer to his wife's hometown, it's pretty darn difficult to think about the overall mentality surrounding Penix and Cousins. They'll be fine. Cousins is an absolute great teammate. We know that, but man, oh man, what a missed opportunity not only to add talent to your roster, but to piss off your quarterback you just brought to town. Big time miss for the Atlanta Falcons. 1.68 GPA. Sounds like an individual semester or two for me in college, but overall, not too shabby. Atlanta Falcons' worst draft, Pittsburgh Steelers' best draft, Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers right there in the middle. Minnesota 16th, Green Bay 18th in the latest ranking. Still looking to hook up here with Greg K. He was one of our two winners for the NFL draft contest. We did have a tie. I need to sort this out amicably over the early portion of this week. Greg, if you're out there listening, you got in on our contest. You were one of our winners. Dial me up right now. I'd love to get you hooked up with your prize pack. 605-362-3776. 605-362-3776. Greg K, like Kevin, you were one of our winners. If you're out there, give us a call. 605-362-3776. Back to wrap up the show after this with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you to wrap up the Monday edition of Overtime. Certainly a lot of sports news today. Minnesota Vikings fans, as they should, in my opinion, feeling pretty good today. Minnesota Timberwolves fans feeling even better after a very impressive sweep of the Phoenix Suns in round one of the NBA playoffs. As we shared with you in hour number one, latest odds indicate the Minnesota Timberwolves have the fourth best odds to win it all this year, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. The only issue there is the Denver Nuggets, their presumptive opponent in the next round, have the second best odds right now. We'll wait and see, but that should be an incredibly fun and entertaining series when the Nuggets finish the deal against the LA Lakers. Let's finish the deal now, though. Finish out the Monday edition of the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, it's always good news when you don't spend too long in the transfer portal. That's the case with Colorado transfer running back Dylan Edwards. Kansas State has landed Colorado's leading rusher from last season as running back Dylan Edwards committed to the Wildcats on Sunday, according to ESPN. Edwards also appeared to confirm the news, posting a photo of himself in a Kansas State uniform on Twitter. As a true freshman, Edwards ran for 321 yards for the Buffaloes last year, also caught 36 passes in the offense, three of those receiving touchdowns. He had four of them. Came in these Colorado debut where the Buffaloes knocked off TCU in a very memorable opener, 45-42. Other good news, Major League Baseball is listening to their players, listening to the fans as they plan to address its uniform fiasco after changes this spring to the standard jerseys and pants led to widespread complaints from players and fans, according to a memo obtained Sunday night by ESPN. The prominent modifications include a return to larger lettering on the back of the jerseys, remedying mismatched gray tops and bottoms, and addressing the new Nike jersey's propensity to collect sweat, according to the memo distributed to players by the Major League Baseball Players Association on Sunday. The changes, which will happen at the latest by the beginning of the 2025 season, will also include fixes to the pants widely panned this spring for being see-through. See-through pants in Major League Baseball, the grandest stage, America's pastime. It is an issue at the latest. The changes coming at the beginning of next year. If I'm Major League Baseball, I get this sorted out by the All-Star break. At the latest sounds a little bit more reasonable. On to the bad, very bad news. Over the weekend, a shooting down in Sanford, Florida, involving Houston Texans wide receiver Tank Dell. He was shot over the weekend in Sanford, Florida, shortly after midnight Sunday morning, according to his team. Dell was a bystander during a shooting at a private event in Sanford, where authorities say a teenage gunman wounded 10 people after an altercation. A Texan spokesperson said Dell is not seriously wounded and was released from the hospital and is traveling back to Houston as of yesterday. In a statement, the team said Dell has a, quote, minor wound. Very bad situation there. But the good news, no reported fatalities in a shooting that injured 10 down in Florida. And lastly, to round out the good, the bad, the ugly, and the Monday edition of the show, the Kansas City Chiefs are looking at their options. Chairman Clark Hunt said the team would look at options behind renovating Arrowhead Stadium as it searches for a home beyond the expiration of their lease following the 2030 season. We will approach it from a broader perspective going forward because time is short for us at this point, and so we need to see what other options are out there for us. When we started this process 3 years ago, it felt like we had a very long time, a long runway with about 9.5 years left on our lease. Now we're down to 6.5, and so I do feel very much a sense of urgency. Arrowhead is a special place for our family and our fan base. That is one of the reasons that we're focused on it with our last effort. But going forward, it may make more sense for us to be in a new stadium. Voters in Jackson County, Missouri, rejected a sales tax measure earlier this month that would have helped fund major renovations to Arrowhead, as well as build a new ballpark for the Major League Baseball's Kansas City Royals in downtown Kansas City. Options for a stadium for the Chiefs elsewhere in KC area include building on the Kansas side of the state line. That would rub a lot of Missourians the wrong way, but we'll wait and see what happens with the Kansas City Chiefs if I'm them. If I've won 2 Super Bowls back-to-back, if I've won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, how do you not want that team to stay at Arrowhead Stadium? That place has a unique vibe, a unique experience, and a nightmarish experience for everyone that comes in supporting another team. Renovate Arrowhead. Invest in Arrowhead and ask the public again next year to vote on something, because if you really think about it, Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas side, do you want this team to have some uncertainty about their future? They're the best team in the NFL. They're the best franchise in the NFL right now at winning Super Bowls. They should stay at Arrowhead. They should stay on the Missouri side, and they should stay representing that area as everyone loves the Chiefs in that town. They should vote that way. Again, you could probably get some better terms and might be able to turn some voters around on the topic. I'm not saying never vote against this or never vote for it. It all depends on what your priorities are, but the Kansas City Chiefs should stay put in Kansas City. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show as well. Thanks so much, as always, for tuning us in. It's the start of another week. Hope you're here for the finish on Friday. We got a great week, including a Kentucky Derby preview, and I might just maybe concoct another fun contest where we pick some horses ahead of the Great American Race that's not the Daytona 500. Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend. We'll be talking that and more later on this week. Have a great day, Sioux Falls. Talk to you then on Overtime.